Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus. We've learned on the second Sunday night in our youth gatherings that God in the book of Genesis, He called out a nation. He began a nation. That nation, of course, was the children of Israel. In the book of Exodus, He delivered that nation from Egyptian bondage. They crossed the Red Sea. God miraculously delivered them with the blessings of the lamb that was slain and the blood put upon the doorposts and the lintel. We know that not only did He create a nation and deliver a nation, but in the book of Leviticus, He gives them their life. This is the life of a nation. And there are two special things that we find in the book of Leviticus. We find the way to God. Y'all remember? And the way to walk with God. We come before a holy God only one way, and that one way is through a sacrifice. You cannot come into the presence of a holy God apart from a blood offering. And Jesus is the Lamb of God that was slain. He is the sacrifice. He is the atoning sacrifice that can bring you to heaven, bring you into the presence of a holy God, and there's no other way, and there's no other name, but through the name of Jesus that people are saved. Not only is there the evidence of a sacrifice, a way to God, but also the book of Leviticus tells us about sanctification, how that we can walk with God. A person, when he gets saved, or she gets saved, the moment that they are saved, they begin a process of sanctification. Salvation is once and for all. But sanctification is something that goes on throughout your entire Christian life. It begins when you get saved and continues to work in your life until you are brought into the very image of Jesus Christ. Until you're in His likeness. And so, in the book of Leviticus, in the 8th chapter, there is a system that was set up for the dedication of the high priest. Aaron, of course, was the first high priest of the people of Israel. He was the brother of Moses. And his commencement, his ordination, his consecration, his sanctification, his setting apart as a high priest is described in this particular chapter of Leviticus. And of course, with each one of these consecrations or setting apart to be used of God, and everything that was set apart to be used of God was typically sprinkled with blood. The Hebrew writer talked about that in the 9th chapter. Almost everything. Everything that was used, whether it was a utensil, whether it was a piece of furniture, whether it was the tabernacle itself, or even the people. The people were sprinkled with blood. They were set apart by blood and consecrated to the use of God. And we today are set apart by the sprinkling of blood. The precious blood of Jesus, the Hebrew writer says that our conscience was sprinkled with the blood of Jesus, that we could serve God, that we would no longer serve dead works, but we would serve the true living God. All that happens by an application of the blood of Jesus upon your life. You have to have an application. Listen to me. You must have an application of the blood of Jesus on your life. That's the only way you can be used of God and the only way you can go to heaven. Sinner friend, listen. You need a believing application of the blood of Jesus Christ on your life. You need to be saved by the grace of God. You're of no service to God until you're underneath the crimson blood of Jesus. Amen. We try to serve Him as saved people, but we know it's all of grace. It's wholly of grace, and you have to have a work of grace upon your heart and upon your life. Anyway, Aaron was being consecrated as the high priest. He was being set apart as a priest unto God. Now, the scriptures teach, and it was prophesied of long ago, that all of God's people, all of the believers in Jesus Christ, that they would be priests and kings unto God. That we have a priesthood. In the New Testament, it speaks of us having a particular or specific priesthood unto God. You look like in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. It talks about us being living stones. It talks about us being a spiritual house and that we have a holy priesthood unto God. We are kings and priests unto God. In the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, unto Him who loved us and who washed us and cleansed us by His own blood, that God would make us kings and priests unto God the Father and unto the glory of God, and through His dominion and power that we would be kings and priests forever. We have a priesthood. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. Priesthood of the believer. That means we don't need somebody to help us access God. Each one of us go directly to God for Himself. Amen? Yeah, we don't have a priest or a pope, or we don't need somebody like that. We can get on our faces before God and we can come into His presence. Amen? Yeah. Oh, we can go into the very throne room of God through prayer. Oh, yeah. Yeah, go to the mercy seat. Yeah. And find help and strength in our time of need. And so the Bible talks about us being a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that we can offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. And so we too are priests unto God. And we've been consecrated. We've been set aside by the blood of Jesus as a particular people, as a holy nation. A people consecrated for the service of God. Isn't that what the church is? Huh? Blood-bought people, heaven-bound people, consecrated people to serve God. The Bible says that He saved us that we might serve Him. And blood's been applied to our account that we might serve the Lord. Oh, what a blessing it is to serve the Lord. And people will not serve the Lord without an applicant. In a genuine way, without an application of the blood. Because without that, you don't know the work of grace. You don't know about having that work of divine grace upon your heart and life, and how unworthy you really are. All right. So this universal sanctification that would be applied. I want to read some of these verses of Scripture. I particularly want us to have notice verse 23. These verses jumped out at me about 25 or 30 years ago as I was reading through the Bible. And when the ceremony took place for Aaron and his sons as high priests to serve in the temple and the tabernacle, to be a representative of a priest of God, they went through this particular ceremony and ritual as we read in these verses. I'll start in verse 18. And he brought the ram of the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he killed it. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. And he cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burnt the head and the pieces and the fat. And he washed the inwards of the leg in water. And Moses burnt the whole ram upon the altar. And it was the burnt sacrifice for a sweet savor, and an offering made by fire unto the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he slew it. And Moses took of the blood of it and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear. Everybody say right ear. The tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the big great toe of his right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons. Moses put the blood upon the tip of their right ear, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot or feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar around about. This morning I want us to notice something about the consecration of one's hearing. Being able to hear spiritual things. Not only consecrated sound, but I want us to notice about consecrated work. Our hands, our service to God, and a consecrated walk before the Lord. Every Christian needs to be able to hear from God. I mean, they need to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. Now, we know that we hear God in creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The 19th Psalm tells us that the sound that goes out throughout the whole earth, that there is a God. There are like three ways that God has chosen to reveal Himself and speak to us. There's a general revelation where God speaks through creation. It says their voice is heard in every language to every nation of every people group that there is a God. The creation itself declare that this massive, great design of our universe required a designer. And that designer is Jehovah God. He created us and He created this world. And it's a universal language. Just like sign language is like a universal language in every nation. Every nation uses the same signs in sign language for the deaf. And this is a universal language that everybody can hear the universe speak and declare clearly that God is. So God has spoken through creation. He's also spoken through His Word. God has spoken to us through His Word. And it's important for us to hear Him speak through His Word. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given of inspiration of God. The Bible is God-breathed. This is the Word of God. It is truth without any mixture of error. And people need to believe what it says. They will be judged by it because it is divinely inspired. The book of Peter tells us that men were moved upon by the Holy Ghost to write this holy writ. And it is the truth. God has spoken to us in creation. He speaks to us through His Word. But there's a third way of revelation. More than just a general revelation, a revelation of truth that has been given to us in the Bible, there is a personal revelation that comes to each and every one of us. Have you ever read, let's just turn over there just for a minute, the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. How that God has spoken, made it clear. And He says this, He said, verse 22, it's talking about wisdom, but it's talking about how God has reached out to the world. And He says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity and ye scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regards it. God is wanting to speak to you today. That you might hear the heavenly sounds of spiritual knowledge. Do you remember when you heard the spiritual, still, small voice that let you know you were saved? Whew. Yes. Oh, wasn't that wonderful? God is speaking to us. He wants to, the Word says here clearly that He's reaching out. He's trying to get you to understand where you stand before a holy God. And He's stretching out His hand and His arm and He's saying, come unto me. Come unto me. I'm glad I heard Jesus say, come unto me. Just like He said in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I believe in a spiritual call. I do. A spiritual call that goes forth with the preaching of the gospel. And if you will open your heart
and unstop your ears, you'll hear God speaking through His Word, calling you to the foot of the cross that you might be saved. The Bible says, how can they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The gospel's being preached, and if you'll hear the word of the gospel, it will get down in your heart, and you'll know that it's not from a man, but it's from God. Do you remember when the gospel became more than a man preaching in a pulpit, but it became Jehovah God speaking to your heart? Oh, when the word of God gets down in your soul and lays you open before a holy God, man cannot do that. Can I get amen? That takes the power of God. And there's still power in the gospel. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. The gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. From the Jew first to also the Greek. Listen, these glad tidings of great joy that salvation has been provided. You need to be able to hear. You need to be able to hear it. Yes, I believe that God's sheep hear His voice. Jesus said in John chapter 10, how are you going to deal with this? The Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. This cynical world trying to deny the words, the very words and the very teachings of Jesus Christ. Denying the work of the Holy Spirit. Denying the interaction and communication between Jehovah God and His creation. Communication always has to be reciprocal and reciprocated. You know, you pray to God and He answers you. Amen? Man, if it's always going one way, then there's not a connection being made. But we pray to God and we know that He hears us when we pray. And He answers our prayers. Now, I'm not saying that I go around and just hear voices in my ear all the time. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about God speaking to our hearts. Yeah. And there's evidence of that all through the Bible and all through the years. Things we need to know, and we need God to hear us and answer our prayers, and we can get on our face and God will hear and answer that prayer. And you can get up off your knees knowing that God has responded. Jesus said it would be that way. John chapter 14 verse 21. He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loves me shall be of love to the Father. And he said, I will love him and I will manifest myself unto him. Christ coming and manifesting himself unto us, showing up, being present in our hearts and our lives. Listen, if you search your heart right now and it is empty and it is void of the presence of the Holy Spirit, you need to get on your face and you need to repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Our ears are a mystical thing. They bridge communication. They're an amazing sense that we have. I contend only God could design the ear. None but God could build something like this. I mean, you know, there wasn't a bunch of hearing aids put in a jar and shaken up and there was an ear created. No, God did it. Yeah. Where we could understand what it means to hear from Him in a spiritual way. It's a headquarters used to dispatch information many times from the outside world to the inside world. And it's a bridge many times that's used to lead us from the natural into the spiritual. And that's why it's so important for you to be able to hear from God through the gospel. Now there's people that I have preached to
And it seems like it just fell on what I call deaf ears. As Jesus described it, hearing they did not hear, and seeing they did not see. It's like it didn't get down into their heart where they could understand what was going on and what I meant by being saved. And they turned away. It's like when Stephen was being stoned, the people that heard him preach or declare the glorious truths of the gospel, they stopped up their ears with their fingers. I have preached to people through the years, and I really don't know. They're sitting here, but they're not hearing anything. Or it's not changing their lives, right? It's not getting past their heads into their hearts, so they wouldn't live the way they live if they were hearing what I was preaching. Can I get amen? There's a breakdown in the communication. That bridge between the outside and the inside world is just not being crossed. Sanctified hearing. Oh, this message is going to get away from me, and I understand that. I'll just say this about Christians, that you don't have a right to listen to whatever you want to listen to. You've been bought with a price. And in this type, if you will, or this illustration of this consecration unto God for service, specifically the right lobe of the right ear was identified. The ear was identified. It was singled out, signifying that our hearing, the most important thing we hear in life, is from God. And we need to hear from Him. I was speaking to a young man the other day, and he's like, I don't know what we need to do. I don't know. It was a young pastor with a church that was struggling. He said, I don't know what else to do. What is the answer? And I basically told him that God alone has the answer. Man, we need to hear from Him. Get guidance and direction from Him. You can't get leadership from Him unless you hear from Him. You know, sometimes we call it being led of the Lord when we're much like that idol that was thrown into the fire by Aaron. You know, we just threw it into the fire and poof, it popped out. No. We need specific guidance and leadership from the Lord. We're chasing our own tails if we don't have leadership from the Lord. We need to know that this is God's will for our lives, and we need to follow that leadership no matter what. We need to listen for that heavenly voice and the whispers of spiritual things. Listen for spiritual speaking. Not just through the reading of God's Word and the preaching of God's Word, but I believe God communes with us and Christ sups with us. Don't you? Now there are times, like the seven churches of Asia, that the church hears directly from Jesus through the pulpit. I'm going to say that again. Each one of those statements made in the book of Revelation where it says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church, was the pastor preaching to each one of those churches the very message God had for them. And they need to hear God speak through God's Word, through the pulpit and through the preaching. And maybe if we were more in tune with God, hearing God in the preaching as saints, it might rub off on the sinners that are among us, that they too will hear what God's saying from the pulpit. Make sense? Get saved and come to the Lord. And Isaiah said, God said, hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. He went on and said, "Incline your ears, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live." You got to hear. Faith cometh by hearing. Listen, sinner friend, faith cometh by hearing. You need to open your hearts and receive the truth that you are lost and on your way to a devil's hell. And if you don't repent of your sins and put faith in Jesus Christ, you'll split hell wide open. That's the truth. And you need to embrace that. Receive that as the truth. And call upon the Lord that you might be saved. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 4, He said, "My sheep, they know my voice." We know the voice of the Savior. A few years ago, John Leland heard another Baptist preacher, a fundamental Baptist preacher, preach. Somebody asked about him. It was D.L. Moody who it was. And John Leland said, "That's not the voice of my master." Listen, if we don't have sanctified hearing, we won't have sanctified discernment. We can't discern what's right and what's wrong, what's the truth, what's of the Lord and what's of the devil. We can't discern between light and darkness, right and wrong. We'll get so confused and misled and deceived. Man, we need to hear from God and know what God's truth is and what His doctrines are, that we might walk in His ways and work for Him in a way that will please Him and glorify Him. Oh, if you just incline your ear unto me, God said in Isaiah chapter 55. If you'll incline, if you'll listen to me, God says, oh, I'll deliver you. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Yeah. Listen, folks. In salvation, we hear Jesus say, "Come unto me." In fellowship, we hear Him say, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." In guidance, He says, "Come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." In tribulation, we hear Him say, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In communion, we hear Him when we come to the table, "Do this in remembrance of me." In service, we hear Him say, "Serve me, love me, be devoted to me. Be loyal to me. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." In anticipation, we hear Jesus say, "I'm coming. I'm coming for you. I'm coming again." And He is. He's coming again. I want you to notice a few other verses, and I'll try to close. I'm not going to get to our hands and our feet. But if your ear has been consecrated, has been sanctified, blood from the sacrifice, the ram of consecration was put upon the ear of Aaron, a high priest. We need sanctified hearing. We need to hear from God. Amen? As a church and as a people, as individuals, as a home, as parents, you need to hear from God. Okay? I've been a parent. I know there's been times in my life I had to get on my face and I was unsure how to handle things as a father and as a dad. But I asked God for leadership and guidance. And I believe He helped me. He helped me. There's been times as a father and as a husband, as a leader of a home, I didn't know which way to turn. And I went to the Lord and He gave me guidance and help and leadership. Do y'all know about that? I didn't know which way to go or how to handle this. But I spread myself out before the Lord and asked for His leadership, and He provided. Folks, we need to be careful what we hear and how we hear it. I don't see how people get so confused. And we've got a lot of people. Jesus instructed us in Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. He said, "You better take heed what you hear." And He says, "What measure ye meet, ye shall be measured to you." In other words, He was telling us that what you hear will make a difference in judgment. How you've been instructed, the opportunities you've had, will impact you in judgment. And he said, be careful what you hear. I'm thankful I got to hear the truth growing up. It was a blessing. The different ones I heard through the years. He went on and said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, a similar statement, take heed therefore how ye hear. And he says, whosoever hath not, he said this, for whosoever hath, to him it shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him it shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Have you heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you heard about His death and how it must impact your life and change your life? That'll weigh heavy on you if you don't get saved. And you go into eternity lost. David, get a song. There's only one other occasion in the Old Testament where this kind of ceremony was used with a putting of blood on the right ear, the right thumb, and the right big toe. And that was when the lepers were cleansed. In the first chapter of Mark, Jesus cleansed one of the lepers. And he said, go appear before the priest, do the things according to Moses. In the 14th chapter of Leviticus, I think it's strange, the only other occasion where this kind of ceremonial practice was used concerning the right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe was after the lepers had been cleansed. Now, leprosy represented sin. Folks, once you've been washed from your sins and cleansed, you need to sanctify your life in service to Him. Okay? And He can take somebody like a leper, one who's just so steeped in sin, and He can cleanse them and use them in His service. No matter how far gone you've been, Jesus can cleanse you up, make you a saint, and use you in His service. Amazing, isn't it? And that ceremony of the 14th chapter of Leviticus, where the lepers were, according to the law of Moses, were also, after they've been proved, cleansed. They went through the ceremonial process of being sanctified, or set apart as cleansed, and then able to go back into the camp and be part of God's people. Not outside, but be inside the camp. And they would go through the same process, just like they did with the priests. Look, this is a universal thing. All of us need to hear from God. All of us need to be serving God. All of us need to be working for God. No matter what stature, whether high or small, the greatest to the smallest, all of us need to be led of the Lord and know the Lord for ourselves. Stand to your feet. If you're here today and you've never been saved by the grace of God, we hear a lot of things coming into our ears today. A lot of it's getting into our hearts and it's distorting the message, the great message of truth, that Jesus died on the cross to save you. He rose again on the third day to justify you. He came down that you might go up. He ascended to glory. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And you can call on His name and He can hear you today. He's alive. And His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, nor His arm short that it cannot save. But if you'll turn from your sins and you'll put faith in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, you can go home today consecrated, set apart as one of God's children, amen, one of His priests and kings in His kingdom, because we are a kingdom of priests. You can have a relationship with the Lord, offer up spiritual sacrifices to God for yourself and for others, and have a hearing throughout your entire life that has communion and connection with a holy God, as we sing. Is there somebody here today and you've never been saved? Would you come? Let me ask you the question. What is it that's stopping up your ears? What is it that's blinding your eyes? What is it that's causing your heart to be hard? Some of you kids were raised in church. You know that if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. You know that. You believe that. You know it's true. So why can't you hear? Why are you deaf to the gospel? I'll tell you why. The Bible makes it real clear. The devil has you. The devil has blinded your mind, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in your heart. The devil's got you. That ought to scare the daylights out of you. The devil has your mind right now where you can't hear. That's the reason. That's the only explanation ever given in Scripture. Blind in the mind and the heart. Because if you embraced the truth, if you were honest with yourself and embraced the truth, there's no place to go but to Jesus. You can't just stand there and ignore it. You got to run to Jesus. You got to flee for refuge and lay hold of eternal life if you believe the truth. But people can't hear it. And without hearing it, you can't believe it. Faith cometh by hearing, but you're deaf to it. Oh, you hear, like Jesus said, but you don't hear. You see, but you really don't see. You're really spiritually deaf and dumb, just as Jesus described the people in his day. Seeing they can't see, and hearing they can't hear. I want us to sing another song. And I want us to gather in the altar. Children, listen to me. You need the blood of Jesus applied to your account. You really do. We need the power of the gospel to impact the hearing of lost sinners, where it gets down in their heart, not just in their head, but in their hearts. Brings them low where they can lift up their eyes to the Lord and be saved. We're going to sing another song. Rachel's praying up here, and we want to come in the altar, and we want to pray for her, and people need to pray for the others. We need to pray for ourselves that we can hear from God. And we can follow through with that, and we can do what God wants us to do. All through the Scripture, there's not one single character, one holy person found in all the Scriptures, okay, that wasn't called upon by God to do something. Find me one. Okay? They heard from God. And they had to respond to those things, various things that God called upon them to do. And they heard from God. Now, I don't believe in the leadership contrary to the Scriptures, but I do believe in spiritual leadership, don't you? And we need that kind of leadership in our life. There may be somebody that you need to talk to. God ever led you to talk to somebody about their soul? Huh? Bring up the subject at work or with a family member or friend. God just be all over you, you know, and you're burdened down and you don't know what you're going to say exactly, but you know God wants you to say something. We need that kind of leadership, don't we? Let's come in the altar and have an altar prayer. As we sing a song, let's get on the altar. If you're here today and you've never been to an altar of prayer, come. You're invited. Come. Children, come. Lost man, lost woman, lost friend, come. Whoever, wherever, come. I want us to pray.